There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning to the podcast. This is our Wednesday edition of the podcast, and we certainly thank the Lord for each of you that listen. We've had some folks contact us about this week and about the failure in their life to praise the Lord. And so we pray that this is an exhortation to you, because the next three psalms will be dealing with the same matter. Now, of course, tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be dealing with a messianic psalm. Today, we're just dealing with general praise, praise unto our God, which is a messianic psalm because he's worthy of our praise. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is worthy of all of our praise, our adoration. And that's what it means to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. What does that mean? Because that worshipful heart, that heart has bowed to him. And then you praise him audibly with your flesh, with your mind. You have to think about praising him. It ought to become automatic. If he's on your mind, it'll become automatic to praise him. When things go right, when things go wrong, when things go indifferent, neutral things, to praise him and to bless his name. And so we're going to look at praise again. I'd like to remind those of you in the area, we will be this Sunday at the Shippensburg Independent Baptist Church in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and then 6 p.m. And so we're looking forward to being with the folks in Shippensburg, and we rejoice in this opportunity to preach. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be over in Saltillo, Pennsylvania. We'll make that known here in a week or so on the podcast. But just our plans and the schedule that God has given us. And then I'll begin announcing also towards the end of the month, the last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of March, Pastor John Asquith from Black Creek Baptist Church, Black Creek, New York, will be in Blaine, Pennsylvania at our home church, the Manassas Community Baptist Church, holding services. And so those of you that might be interested in that, just mark your calendars. We have places available for lodging if folks are interested. And so you just need to let us know about that. So those are things upcoming. Those are things concerning the ministry. But today we're in Psalm 148, that beautiful psalm of praise. And I remember my pastor back many years ago when I first went to evangelism, that precious man, dear man, spoke with me the other day. He's getting on up in years, but he was prone to praise the Lord. He was not shy about praising the Lord. He was not shy about rejoicing. He was not shy and backwards about praising the Lord. He was instant in season, out of season in praise. He would praise him in Dunkin' Donuts. He'd praise him in the vehicle, praise him in church, praise him at home. He had a life of praise. But I believe that life stemmed from a prayer life that he offered praise and taught me great many things. And I remember him preaching this psalm, Psalm 148, and going through these matters, and he made the statement at the end of the psalm, and I'll probably make the same statement today. When he got to the end of the psalm, he said, there is no one excluded. He said, everything that hath breath is required to praise the Lord. And therefore, no one is excluded from praising him. Lost people ought to praise him. Heathens ought to praise him. Those bound in affliction ought to praise him. Those in sickness, those on their deathbed ought to praise the Lord. And by the way, I have seen firsthand men on their deathbed give praise unto the Most High God. I've been told of a story of a man I knew personally and had a preacher friend of mine that was there, that one of the last things he did was lift up his hands toward heaven and bless the name of the Lord, and within a few minutes had died, had left this earth. And so praise is comely. We learned about that the other day. And so again, for these next 3 days, as we finish out through Psalm 150, we'll be looking at praise. In verse 1, he says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Now, do you believe the angels of God praise him? Do you believe the angels of God fly through the heaven? Do you believe they fly to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty? Do you believe that the angels of God give him praise and adoration? Do you believe the saints of God in heaven give him praise and adoration? I believe they do. They're commanded to. He said, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. They are commanded to praise the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. This word is forever settled in heaven. They have no choice but to praise him. To not praise him would be rebellion. And of course, the rebellious ones were already cast down. And they would not praise him. They wanted to praise someone else. And that's really the way men are today. They'll bow the knee to celebrities and they'll praise sports stars and athletes and they'll praise local politicians, whatever their fancy is, but they won't give praise to the Most High God. And I hear the statement made so many times about some type of sickness or some type of affliction. And they'll say, well, I beat such and such. And I had a man told me many years ago, and he said, I beat, and he had some type of nervous disorder. It almost killed him. And he said, I beat it. I won. And within 2 weeks, the man was dead. So what victory did he win? He won no victory. Why wouldn't he give praise to the Most High God? And that was one of those life lessons for me. That was one of those things that just about put me on my face before God. And I've been wept over that man. I stood there over his coffin and looked down the coffin and realized here's a man that God touched, that God gave another chance at life. God gave him opportunity to be born of God. God sent witnesses by to tell him. And what praise did he have for the Most High God? I did it. I am of my own man. I am strong enough. I can do this. And that's the mindset of people today. That's the attitude of people. That's what you hear today. And therefore, in that, we see that men ought to praise the Lord, but they don't praise the Lord. The angels praise the Lord. The hosts praise the Lord. We see in verse 3, the sun and moon praise him. The stars of light praise him. He said that. Praise you, him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Until that moon, that sun, there's no need for them. They're going to praise him. Until the stars come to a place, there's no need for them because Jesus Christ is the light of that city. Until that day, they're going to praise him. And he goes on and he says, praise him, ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. And that's a doctrinal verse as well as positional verse. But that's where he's to be praised. He's to be praised in the face of the deep. He's to be praised in the heavens of heavens. And it's interesting that plurality, the two words there, heavens of heavens, is used. That's something that, if you're not familiar, I'm not going to preach this on the podcast, but I hope you look into that. And he gives understanding of those things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he tells us that. It's an understanding. And of course, many just stop at the very simplicity, the very basics, but there's so much more there. But that's who's to praise him. That's where he's to be praised. Let them that praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So he tells us that. Who? The heavens of heavens, the waters be above the heavens. He said, let them praise the name of the Lord. Who? The angels, the sun, the moon, the stars, the hosts of heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Is it the word of God that they were created? Therefore, they're required to praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The mountains will praise him. The rocks will praise him. Oh, glory to God. We'll see that. And he goes on and he says, he hath also established them forever. After he created them, he established them. And he hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. So there's the commandment upon earth to praise the Lord. Will they praise the Lord? Well, they're commanded to. I believe his creation will praise him. I believe the lions of the Serengeti will praise him. I believe the wild dogs of the outback will praise him. I believe the crocodiles of the rivers will praise him. I believe the fish of the streams will praise him. I believe the moose of the north will praise him, you know, because they've been commanded to praise God. An animal doesn't need a reason to cry out. It might be given praise unto our God. And of course, people say, well, you're just crazy for thinking that. Did he not just command them to? Did he not just tell them to? Did not God just not instruct them to praise him? He made a decree that shall not pass, that they should praise him. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. I'm going to stop there for just a moment, but it pretty much says that everything's going to praise the Lord. I listen to the old maple tree right next to our porch creaking in the wind sometimes in the winter, and sometimes you hear the branches snap, but you hear that creaking of the wind. That tree lifts up its hands towards heaven and praises the Lord. The wind howls across the corners of the house. That wind gives praise unto the Lord. The fire that falls, the lightning from heaven, the hail that falls, they give praise unto the Most High God. Why? They obey him at his command. And God tells the hail to fall, it falls. God controls every hailstone. God controls every lightning strike. God controls every tornado, every storm, every hurricane. God is in the midst thereof. Yet that's not how he speaks to man, but that's them praising him. And he tells you this in the word of God. They have no choice but to praise him. People say, that's too far out for me. It's not far enough out for me, to be honest with you. He said, the fruitful trees praise him. How do they do? They bring forth fruit. And that's their praise. What is their offering? They cast it down to the ground and seed the earth as God commanded them to do. And because they seed the earth as God commanded them, they bring praise unto the Most High God. You see that corn of wheat in the field, when it casts its seed into the ground, it's obeying God. It's doing what God told it to do. God said it was going to do that. It's going to bring forth fruit. It was going to be herb-yielding seed. And therefore, that's exactly what they're to do. Man comes, and of course, he picks the fruit. Animals come and enjoy the fruit, the labor of the fruit. Then they can praise God for the bounty of it. But even the trees of the field, the fruit trees, and all cedars, beasts, and all cattle, creeping things, and flying fowl. Why does a mother cow in the middle of a meadow low? And scientists try to explain it all away. Well, you know, when she's longing for a calf, she lows. When she's this, she's lows. When her milk bag is full, she's low. What about that mother has no calf, that has no milk bag, standing out in the middle of a field all by herself? A little gust of wind ruffles her there between the ears, and she looks up and bawls and moos. Why? Because she's praising the Most High God, because she's commanded to. But you know who doesn't praise him? Man. Man that's made in God's own image. They won't praise God. They won't give God the glory. They won't praise him. They say, oh, that's just absurd. That's absurd to think that we need to praise God. It's absurd to think that there's even a God in heaven. The fool has said in his heart there is no God, and therefore they won't praise God. God forbid the saints of God don't praise him. God forbid the saints of God don't open their lips and give him praise. God forbid those that name the name of Christ are ashamed to praise the Most High God. God forbid we let this wicked, degenerate world promoting communism and BLM and LGBTQ and all of those things, and they promote it publicly. God forbid some of the names, the name of Christ, is ashamed to praise the Most High God. And one of the most humbling things you could do would be stand on a street corner, lift up your hands, and with a voice loud as a trumpet, tears streaming down your face, give praise unto the Most High God and praise him for his wonderful works. He's been so good. He's so mighty. He's so powerful. And he's worthy of that praise. And he commands us to praise him, because then he said, kings of the earth, the kings ought to praise him. King Charles ought to praise him. King Charles ought to make a public proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and no man shall bow to me, but bow to him. No man shall bow to this kingdom. They'll bow to a kingdom to come, the kingdom of God. Will men do that? No, they will not. Why? Because they love it. But he's commanded the kings of the earth to bow the knee, and all people, princes, and all judges of the earth. Now, you say, I'm not in a position of authority. I'm not in a position to be a judge. I'm not in a position of a kingdom. Well, he doesn't exclude you, because he says both young men and maidens, old men and children. So really, no one is excluded. My children don't like to praise the Lord. They, of course, get contrary to those things. They won't praise him. And they get disciplined in this home for not praising the Lord or refusing to pray or not giving God the glory and not singing songs unto the Most High God and singing foolish songs. And they get disciplined for that. And because I'm trying to teach them and to train them that God is worthy of our praise. Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise. And he said the young men are going to praise him. The maidens are going to pray. You sit in church and I watch people, lost people. They use that as an excuse. Well, I'm not saved, therefore, you know, I'm not going to praise God. He didn't say anything about that. He commanded you to praise him. Whether you're saved, whether you're lost, you ought to praise him. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And watching church as people sit there all offended and all uptight and all, somebody says amen, or somebody says glory, or somebody says hallelujah, good biblical words. They get all uptight and get uncomfortable and start sweating bullets, or they cringe. Or I'll tell you how you know people don't praise the Lord at home, because when you do that, their children turn around and stare at you like you got four eyes. And they try to stare at you like some kind of hideous monster, because mom and dad don't praise the Lord at home. It's telling of them that they don't praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about some type of crazy outpouring, some type of Pentecostal anointing. I'm talking about the very basics of praising the Lord, giving God the glory, lifting up your voice like a trumpet, sparing not, cry aloud and praise the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. The old men are commanded to do it. The young men are commanded to do it. The maidens are commanded. The children are commanded to praise the Lord. How come they don't teach our children to praise the Lord? How come we see a generation today that refuses to praise the Lord? My children are instructed. I'm not tooting my horn. I got all kinds of problems. I got all kinds of failures in our life and our family and our home and our everything else with our children. But my children are commanded to praise the Lord. If they won't praise him, they're going to get dealt with. Well, so it is with us. Don't you think God's going to deal with us that refuse to praise him? People that are so spiritual in church, they can't say tweet. They can't nod their head. They can't give a holy grunt. They can't bat their eyes. They refuse. You know why? Because they don't praise him in public. That's why. They don't want to lift up his name. They're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They're ashamed of that power of God. They're ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. Therefore, they won't praise him publicly because they don't praise him privately. My friend, praise is comely. It's a beautiful thing. God desires your praise. And you can go take all the scriptures you want to refute that. And you can take all the scriptures you want to rebuke me and call me on the phone and cuss me out about that. But the reality of it is I have scripture to back up what it is. He said everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. The young men, the maidens, the old men, the children, they're going to praise the Lord. God has commanded them to praise him. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I pray you take this to heart. I hope you take heed to these things and with your lips begin to utter praise to the Most High God. It's not just for ceremony. It's not just for a testimony time. It's not just in a song service. It's a life of praise. It's a life of giving glory and honor to he that is worthy of our praise. Why don't you just practice? Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Just say this, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise to the Most High God. Amen and amen. This is an exhortation of Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.